The valiant and vulnerable prophet Elijah. Episode 9. Horeb, the Mount of God. Number 1, the cave. Number 2, the call. Number 3, the care. The singer-songwriter Paul Brandt wrote these words: "Cry if you want to, I won't tell you not to. I won't try to cheer you up, I'll just be here if you want me. There's no use in keeping a stiff upper lip. You can weep, you can sleep, you can loosen your grip. You can frown, you can drown and go down with the ship. And you can cry if you want to. Don't ever apologize for venting your pain. It's something to me you don't need to explain. I don't need to know why. I don't think it's insane. You can cry if you want to. The windows are closed, the neighbors aren't home. If it's better with me than to do it alone, I'll draw all the curtains, I'll unplug the phone, and you can cry if you want to. You can stare at the ceiling and tear out your hair, swallow your feelings and stagger and swear. You can show things and throw things, and I wouldn't care, because you can cry if you want to. No, I won't make fun of you. I won't tell anyone. I won't analyze what you do or what you should have done. I won't advise you to go out and have some fun. You can cry if you want to. Well, it's empty and ugly and terribly sad, and I can't feel what you feel, but I know it feels bad. I know that it's real, and I know it makes you mad, so cry if you want to. I won't tell you not to. I won't try to cheer you up. I'll just be here if you want me to be near you." Elijah is crying. Number 1, the cave. He's crying with exhaustion, isolation, depression, and expectation. Can I remind you? He's stressed out, burned up, done in. A washed up, suicidal, depressive. "I've had enough. I can't take any more. How much is a man supposed to take? Lord, couldn't you have done something with Jezebel and Ahab?" Yes, the fire came. Yes, the altar fell. Yes, the people cried, "The Lord, He is God." Yes, the Baals fell, and even the rain fell, and I was empowered to run all the way to Jezreel, but Jezebel didn't fall. Remember the threat. Remember the satanic, sadistic, psychological warfare which she enters into with Elijah. Remember how he runs. Beersheba, 90 miles. Remember how he cries. Remember how tender God has been. An angel. Maybe it was a theophany, Jesus himself. The food, the rest. And now he's on his way to the Sinai desert. More hundreds of miles to traipse. Now he's in that Sinai desert. Arid, barren, deserted, hot in the day, unbearably, cold, lonely, dark at night. Picture him in your mind's eye. He's climbing slowly up the Mount of God. This is where Moses had gone. This is where the Ten Commandments had been given. This is where the mountain had shaken. This is where the smoke and the fire had been seen. This is where the living God had revealed himself in covenant. And this is the cave where Moses himself had gone to. Now he's in that cave. Can you picture him sitting, huddled, almost in a fetal position, physically exhausted, mentally drained, spiritually shot through, emotionally wrecked, disappointed with God, disillusioned with his call, desperately, desperately lonely, having dismissed his servant, emotionally all over the place. He has now lost all perspective. He is feeling lower than the low and very sorry for himself. Exhausted, isolated, depressed. But he's gone to the mountain of God because something in his soul makes the expectation that God somehow, somewhere, will come and meet with him. I remind you, according to the Bible, men and women of God who do great exploits for him can and often are prone to exhaustion and depression. And I remind you, Mr. High and Mighty, I remind you, Mrs. Walking Bible Encyclopedia, where everything in your garden is rosy, where you think that Christians should never, ever, ever be depressed, I remind you that the Son of God, the light of the world, the one who was essentially, eternally, and equally God in the Garden of Gethsemane, was in utter despair. The cave. Elijah is in this cave. Are you in a cave this evening? Ladies, take off the mascara and the makeup. Fellas, drop the image. You may be in church. But you could well be in the lowest spot in your Christian experience. After the cave comes the call. Then he came to the cave and lodged in it. Here he is lodging, dwelling. Here's the call, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenants and thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." God comes with a call, which is very personal and tender. "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by." Can you hear the Lord speaking tenderly? Elijah, he speaks to him by name. He knows all about him. The psalmist said he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. There are no secrets with him. The very hairs upon our head, our very fingerprint and DNA is known to him. No high we can experience, no low we can experience without him knowing. He is below us as our covering. He is above us. He is behind us, beside us, within us. He is the God who knows us altogether and personally and tenderly. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" How wise is our God? What is he doing? He is allowing Elijah to vent. This is not, "What are you doing here? Tell me all about it, Elijah. Why are you here?" "Well, Lord, I'm here because I'm the only one left. I'm the only one who's been faithful to you. And I feel you've let me down. He vents his pain. They're seeking my life. I'm a fugitive. I'm wanted. I'm hunted. And yet I'm your servant. Of course, that's not true, as we shall find out. He thinks he's the only one. Very often when we're exhausted and depressed, we think, nobody knows the sorrow that I'm bearing, the pain I feel, what I have to go through. He's not alone, but he thinks he is. And after the personal and tender call comes the vivid and dramatic call, because creation is involved. Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Wow. Unbelievable. This great and strong wind. It's a hurricane. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? Can you see the rocks? Wow. Breaking. The Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Can you feel the rumbling? Perhaps it reminded him of the stories of Moses and the trembling on the mount. Can you feel the trembling? Can you see the gaps opening? Can you feel the danger of being swallowed up? But the Lord is not in the earthquake. And then there's the fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Moses had met with God, had a burning bush. Elijah had cried for the fire to fall, and it had done so. But the Lord is not in the fire. But this vivid and dramatic call comes. Creation speaks. But God is not there. It's not that voice. It's not that word which he wants Elijah to hear. Because then comes the quiet and the practical one. Look what it says. And Elijah heard it at the sound of the low whisper, verse 12. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And now this quiet voice becomes practical. "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." Here's the practical. Go back. Go back to Damascus. Go to the place of duty. Anoint Hazael to be king. What? Anoint Hazael to be king of Israel? Ahab's the king. He's the one after me, Lord. Anoint Hazael king. King of Syria. He'll be an opponent to Ahab. What will happen then? Ahab's hunting me down. He's the king of Israel. If I anoint Hazael king of Syria, there'll only be more trouble. And Jehu, king of Israel. I can't anoint Jehu king of Israel. Ahab's king of Israel. Go back. Do your duty. And amazing, isn't it? A call which is personal and tender, vivid and dramatic, quiet, but practical. And then anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He's going to be your successor. Imagine being told by the living God, your days are numbered. There is a successor waiting in the wings. God moves his servants out, but his work continues. No man is indispensable. No man. I've told you all before. Get a bucket of water. Fill it up to the top. Stick your finger in it. Whirl it round. Pull it out. Do that. Count to 10 slowly. Look into that bucket. That's exactly how much you will be missed. No exceptions. That's why you should never put your faith in a pastor, in a man. The best of men are only men at best. That's all they are. And leaders come and go. God remains. His purposes ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Number three, we have the care. I find this really moving. Verse 19. So we departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Stop. Elijah, go and anoint Hazael. That's what you've been told. He doesn't. Go and anoint Jehu. He doesn't. This exhausted prophet, like most people in the Bible, start well, but don't end too good. Don't beat yourself up over that, friend. Elijah was a man of like nature to us. The tendency is for you and I, for the outward man, to perish. We're weak. We're not what we should be, could be, want to be, ought to be. We're not. Only Jesus and his perfect righteousness credited to our account is our only boast and confidence. His blood makes the foulest clean. His righteousness covers all our ugliness and all of our weakness. But what he does do, he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Look, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. He must have been wealthy. Most farmers only had one yoke of oxen. This man's got 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. Not only is he wealthy, he's humble because he's got the 12th one. He's right at the back. He's not full of himself, is he? Not at all. Elijah passed by, cast his cloak upon him. Then he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He's willing. He's enthusiastic. He's running. Not only so, he's respectful. Look what he says. He left his cloak of oxen, ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss me dad and mum. Then I'll come and follow you. Let me go home. Let me give my mom and dad a kiss. And then I'll be with you. He honors his father and his mother. He's respectful. And he said to him, go back again. For what have I done to you. And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. He's sacrificial. He is worshipful. He makes a sacrifice and allows others to eat. Can you see this friend? He's young. He's disciplined. He's humble. He's hardworking. He's servant-hearted. He's enthusiastic. He's loyal. I wonder if you could follow with me in 2 Kings. We'll come to this in a few weeks' time. But look what it says in 2 Kings. Here is the call of Elisha, because Elijah is about to go to heaven. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Wow, listen. Okay, we can leave it there. It's amazing. Look at this man. See him. He's not just wealthy. He's not just humble and disciplined. He's servant-hearted. He runs after Elijah. He's loyal. "Listen, I'm about to go to heaven. You stay here, please. Stay here. I'm going to Bethel. Not on your life. I'm coming with you." And then the next time he says to him, "Stay here. I'm going to Jericho. You stay, not on your life, I'm coming with you. Will you stay here, please? Because I've got to go over Jordan." "No, I'm coming with you." Friend, listen. What a wonderful, wonderful example Elisha is. This man's young, hardworking and disciplined, humble, servant-hearted. He wants to be a servant. He's loyal. He knows that Elijah is a man. He hasn't done all he should do. But this friend sticks with him, serves him, doesn't lord it over him. What a wonderful example of care, concern, loyal servanthood. It's beautiful. The cave, the call, the care. Take these lessons home with you, will you please? Number one, if you're physically exhausted and mentally drained and spiritually washed up, take time out. It was at least 6 weeks that God allowed, at least 6 weeks, that God allowed Elijah to be away from Ahab and Jezebel. In fact, we shall find that it might be a much more period of time. Take time out. Visit the doctor. Get some medication. Get some help. Number two, though you feel alone, remember you are not alone. Here's what God says. "Elijah, you're wrong. There's 7,000 people who've not bowed the knee." Elijah should have known that. What did we learn the other week? Obadiah had 100 of the prophets and he was feeding them. You're not alone. We're not meant to walk the narrow way alone. You know, supposed to have faithful with you and hopeful with you and great heart with you and patience and sincerity with you and watchful with you and knowledge with you as you walk this pilgrim way. You're not alone. He is with us. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Say it backwards, you forsake nor you leave, never will I. You will have to slay at some time or other your self-pity. Woe is me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go and eat worms. Long, thin, slimy ones. Big, fat, curly ones. Think I'll go and eat worms. Nobody's got it as bad as I have. Woe is me. Number three, as you recover, please remember this. There is safety in duty. Go back to the place of usefulness. Go back to Damascus. I've given you something to do. Anoint Hazael, anoint Jehu, anoint Elisha. I told you the other week, the acronym for FEAR, F-E-A-R. It's false expectations appearing real. And the very best way to conquer your fear is to face your fear head on. Go back. Face up. Do your duty. You know, lots of the time when we're feeling low, we just want to watch daytime television all day. Get up. Get out, meet with people. Get to that place of usefulness. Go to the prayer meeting. Get to the means of grace. Do what you can. Do what you can where you are at as you recover. Number four, trust God's plan. He rules in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. No one can stay his hand. No one can say, what are you doing? Lord, what are you up to? Anoint Hazael, king of Syria. He'll be the opponent of Ahab. Anoint Jehu, king of Israel. Well, Ahab's king of Israel. That's right. Because I see what you don't see. I know what you don't know. I know that Hazael will be part of the downfall of Ahab. You don't know that, but I do. I know that Jehu, driving his chariot 100 miles an hour, he will be responsible partly for the downfall of Jezebel, the two foremost enemies in your life and the enemies of righteousness, the enemies of holiness, the enemies of heaven. I will deal with, says God. You can trust my plan. You can trust my word. And incidentally, remember, when the works of creation were on display, it wasn't God speaking in those works as such. It was the word of God. It wasn't the forces of nature. It was a word of scripture. It was God's voice. Get back to the Bible. Get back to hearing God's word, seeking God's voice, obeying God's principles revealed in his word. And number five, find a friend. A real friend. I'm telling you this. It's difficult to find a real friend. You can find an acquaintance. You can find a hi, how are you, bye. But someone disciplined, loyal, and servant-hearted, and knowing all your weaknesses, I'm not leaving you. I'm with you. I'm with you wherever you go, whatever you do, right to the very end. I want a double portion of the anointing, and I'm with you. Find a friend. someone you can talk to, someone who will listen to you, someone who will cry with you, someone who will pick you up. Remember the definition of the best of friends. Someone who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Do you know who the best friend is? It's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, John read this evening, our great high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. We can go to him for mercy. We can go for him to him for grace. He doesn't put the engage signal up. He doesn't put I'm busy up. He is a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Because for any and every situation we face in life, we have Jesus. So find a friend who loves Jesus. Find a friend who's like Jesus. And then together, cry out to him who knows you, who loves you, who gave his life for you, who was delivered for our offenses, who was raised for our justification, who understands us better and knows us better than we even know ourselves. Let's stand and sing.